Open your Bibles to Amos chapter 3, begin reading in verse 1. The prophecy of Amos, the third chapter. Verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? We're going to continue to look at the book of Amos this morning. Our theme of the book is preparing to meet God in judgment out of Amos 4. But the title of the sermon today is, Can Two Walk Together? Can two walk together except they be agreed? They meet together. Now, the word together means to unite, and the word agree means to fix upon something, to fix upon something. Now, that's true just in the natural realm. Two people may be able to be acquaintances and have some time together. And it's not saying that two human beings have to be agreed on every point to walk together. But walking is something you do daily. It's something you do routinely. And if there's a fundamental core difference in your goals and what you desire and what you pursue, you can't walk daily together unless one will adjust his steps to be in sync with the other. So the answer to the question is no. Two cannot walk together except they be united and agreed upon some foundational thing that Amos wants to point us to this morning. So the first thing that Israel was not in agreement with God on, and that's what the question is posed for us this morning and in the book, is that Israel is not walking with God. Israel has turned away from God. That's why we find five different times in chapter 4, return unto me, saith the Lord. Israel is not in agreement with God. Now, you've heard the statement among human beings, it's my way or the highway. With God, it's his way or the low way, because his way is the highway, Isaiah 35. There is a highway of holiness. And that's the way we're to be on. Any other way is the low way. And therefore, we have to find agreement on God's terms and not our own. Well, the upshot is, you cannot walk with God. And this is his word to humanity, to the world today. So Israel was in disagreement with God about judgment. Amos speaks the voice of God about the coming judgment. And Israel, in effect, says, no need to be alarmed, no need to be scared, no need to be concerned. And you can see in the first three verses the foundation of why they don't think they need to be concerned. Now look at the language again, verse 1. Hear this word against you, children of Israel. That's the first reason they didn't think they needed to be concerned, because we're the children of Israel. Israel is the name given to Jacob. We are descendants of Jacob, and Jacob, of course, is a descendant of Isaac, and Isaac, of course, is of Father Abraham. We are the children of Israel. Don't listen to Amos. There is no need to be concerned. There's no judgment coming. We're the children of Israel. God says, hear the word against you, O children of Jacob, Israel. Against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. We don't need to be alarmed. We are the people that were redeemed out of Egypt. That spectacular event where God plagued Egypt with the 10 plagues. And then our forefathers walked through dry shod through the Red Sea. And there we came into the land of Canaan after 40 years. We are in the promised land. This is our land and all that goes with it. We don't need to be alarmed. We disagree with you, Amos, about your coming words of judgment. And thereby, they were disagreeing with God. They weren't walking with God. And then thirdly, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. We are the covenant people. Now that was true. When God says, you only have I known, first, he does not mean he didn't know who the other nations were. What, Philistines? Who are you talking about? No, God knows all families of the earth. Deuteronomy 10 said, the heaven and the heavens of the heavens belong to God. He's the God of all nations, and all nations belong to him, and he knows all nations and all families and all peoples. Nothing is concealed before the omniscience of God. So Amos doesn't mean to say, I don't know anything about the rest of the nations. He means to say, God had divinely selected this nation for a divine purpose. You alone have I chosen. Deuteronomy 7, 6, Deuteronomy 10, 15, and Deuteronomy 14, 2 will speak of this divine selection of Israel. Chapter 7 says, I have chosen you to be a special people above all the nations of the earth. Above all families of the earth, like Amos says, I have chosen you to be a special treasure to me. There's a national election taught here. Deuteronomy 10. Only the Lord had a delight to love the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their descendants, and to choose their seed after them. Because of God's love for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he chose their seed, their offspring after them, which is the nation of Israel. A divine selection. You only have I known. I have not loved, I have not protected, I have not cared for any of the nations except for Israel, because he delighted to love Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he sovereignly determined this one nation alone, to give them a land, to give them laws, to give them statutes, to give them his presence, his Shekinah glory over the temple, the tabernacle, which he gave them in Israel. And Deuteronomy 14:2 speaks about this people being a special, unique, peculiar people. You remember in Titus and Peter in the New Testament, they will draw on this word, peculiar, and say, even today, there's a divine election that preceded the creation of the earth. That's not about nations anymore. It's about individuals. So that they would be a peculiar people. A unique kind of people unto the Lord our God. So you see their argument, don't you? You can see between the lines what they're saying. We don't need to be alarmed. We're the covenant people of God. We've been under the care of God. Now listen to what God says. Therefore, because of this divine selection, I will punish you for all your iniquities. You see what the Bible teaches? Greater knowledge and privilege, greater the accountability. Greater the accountability. Luke chapter 12, Jesus spoke about a servant who knew his Lord's will but didn't do it. He never did it. He shall be beaten with many stripes. But the servant who didn't know the Lord's will, he didn't have the information like the other nations didn't have. That servant did things worthy of stripes. He's still a sinner. He'll be beaten with few stripes. What's Jesus saying? For whomsoever much is given, much is required. Israel was given much, therefore Israel would be required much. And their accountability and their judgment rises to the level of what they know about God. And that's true in the world today. The gospel of Jesus Christ and where it is proclaimed raises that society to a greater level of accountability because of a divine knowledge that's been given to all human beings of that society. And therefore the punishment for that nation or those churches will be greater. And so now Amos is going to give six axioms that are evidently true in three pairs. lions, birds, cities, to demonstrate the reality and the cause for judgment that's coming on this nation, Israel. He speaks first about lions after verse 3 when he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. And here are three pairs of questions. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath taken no prey or hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? No. All right, lions. A lion roars to paralyze his prey because his prey is in sight, or he's found the prey and he's pounced on it and he roars out. He roars. A young lion is a lion in the den who's just been weaned. He's waiting for the older lion to bring back the food. He either smells the freshly slaughtered animal or he sees the old lion bringing it. And what does he do? He roars. He roars. Amos 1:2 and Amos 3:8 speaks of God as the voice of a lion roaring through Amos the prophet. Whenever a lion roars, there's danger. The prey should be afraid. Israel's not afraid. Israel is relying upon a covenant relationship rather than a covenant God. And that's their problem. They're not agreed with God. Therefore, they think judgment's not coming. Amos says there's cause, just like when a lion roars in the forest out of his den, there's a cause, there's a reason. There's a reason for you to be concerned, Israel. Turn back to the Lord. The voice of the Lord has spoken. The second pair of axioms. Can a bird fall in a snare or a trap upon the earth where no trap or gin is for him? The answer is no. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? No. Now, the kind of trap here is a net kind of trap that springs up and captures the bird. If you were walking in the woods and you happened to see a bird caught in a trap, you wouldn't say, well, that's amazing. This trap just happened to be there. You would know. Somebody set the trap to capture the bird. The trap has been set. The Lord's voice has spoken and roared. He is setting the trap for Israel for a purpose, just like the fowler will set the trap to catch the bird. Furthermore, when a bird trips the trap, in a sense, the bird's capture is well deserved. I mean, he tripped the trap. The fowler didn't make him go into the trap. Likewise, Israel's demise will be well deserved. This trap was not set in an unjust way. It wasn't that God was just trying to find something to do to Israel. Their sins had found them out. The trap has been laid. The voice of the lion is roaring through the Amos, his prophecy. And God is saying there's every reason for judgment, just like there's every reason for a fowler to take and lay a trap to catch the bird. Just like the fowler will not go home unless he takes something. God will not leave empty-handed, unless, of course, the people turn from their sins. The third pair of axioms. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Paul said in the New Testament, if the trumpet make an uncertain sound, how shall the people prepare for the battle? There were distinctive sounds that were to be sounded upon the horns or the ram's horns to give information to the people. The warning blow meant enemy invaders are on their way. They're coming into the city. Now, who would not get afraid? It's kind of like the sound of the siren in Huntsville. You know a tornado's coming. Now, maybe you've heard the sound so many times you don't get too anxious about it. But if you know that the sound of the horn means the tornado is just a couple of blocks away, there's a fear that rises within you that causes you to seek shelter. When the trumpet blows in the city, the sound of the alarm, the people get afraid. There's a reason for the trumpet blowing. Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? And the answer is no. Whenever temporal judgment falls upon a city, calamity, the Lord is the perpetrator of that temporal judgment. This is not a chance happening here. The net didn't happen by chance. The lion doesn't roar by chance. And the calamity that's coming upon Israel is not by chance, because the Lord is bringing about a temporal judgment on the city of Samaria because of their sins. So they disagree with God because they're resting in something that they should not be resting in. Therefore, they're not alarmed. We should be alarmed in this country because there are all kinds of signs that the voice of the Lord is roaring. It's roaring, and he's close, and there's danger ahead. Now, the purpose of this study is so that we, as the people of God, will be prepared for God's judgment going into the fire in a way that we're trusting him, his purifying fire. He's going to purify, and he's going to consume. The same kind of fire will do two things. We want to meet God in the fire, and the purpose of this study is to prepare us to go into such temporal judgments, whether they be small leading up to something really big and drastic, that we are ready by God's grace to trust him in the fire. And so that's where we're going with this study. So let's look at the first thing that we need to be agreed upon, according to verse 3, to walk with God and walk with him into the temporal judgments that are clearly coming on our country. And if they come to the country, we need not think it's all about them, and because of them, it comes on churches too. And there's need for judgment in America on the culture of Christianity, for God.